Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. Those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So once again, we are on this Sunday. Brother Robert Gross and myself, we're still dealing with the message of repentance, which is one of the principles of the foundation that Christ laid for his people to be founded on. And we have been going into this series because we are preparing you for when we get into the part of the falling away, that you may fully understand why the work of the restitution and restoration of all things that the Lord is doing in these last days is so vitally important, and that you may understand why are we so separated and divided in Christianity. As some may ask, how, if y'all serve the same God, why are there so many churches? So we've been starting off with the original setup, going into the Word of God with you all concerning things that Christ set up, okay? And seeing the restitution, restoration of all things, this is one of the things has to be restored. All things have to be restored back to how Christ set it up. And if you look at us today in Christianity, we're not set up like Christ set it up. Now, you know, many of you may say differently, but we have shown you by Scripture that, hey, we're not set up. Christianity as a whole, it's not set up the way that Christ set it up, okay? And in this restitution, restoration, it must needs be. Christ is coming back for what he set up. He's not coming back for what man set up. And this is what we fail in Christianity to understand. We think that as we've been preaching the return of Christ and Christ coming back to get his people, that's true. Christ is coming back. But we fail to forget. We act as though Christ is coming back to what we set up. And that's not going to happen. Christ is coming back to what he set up. Okay. All things have to be set up like he had it. Okay. Not coming back to what we set up. And, you know, telling him, say, huh, Lord, this is what we set up, and you either take it or leave it. That's not happening, okay? So Christ is coming back for his people, okay? And they're going to be set up or established the way he set it up when he was here, amen, glory to God, and working through his apostles in them, hallelujah. He's not coming back, glory to God, to anything that is set up man's way. Now I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. How are you today?
Praise the Lord. Once again, we're back again. Another blessed day to the Lord. I'm blessing the Lord. Thank God for this golden opportunity, brother,
amen,
we've been given to give the gospel. And you know what else I'm about to say.
Yeah,
once again, we can drop some pain on that devil. Yes, Lord. Seems like I can't end the conversation without dropping it with that. Oh, my God. Thank God.
That's
for
right.
This golden opportunity he has given us. Amen. Glory to God. So, glory to God. We are on tonight, Repentance Part 4. For those of you who are first-time listeners, I want to encourage you, before we go forward in this next few minutes, go back. You know, after you listen tonight, go back to listen to part one. And then there are other broadcasts to this original setup we've been doing that I want to encourage you to listen to. Because When you come in the middle or toward the end of something, many times you miss grasping the message in its completeness. So I want to encourage you all, if you're a first-time listener tuning in, and after you listen in tonight, hey, go back and listen to the ones before. The original setup, we did repentance. We've been doing repentance now. We did faith, and we did some other original setups, talking about what Christ originally set up. So on that note, I'm going to let my brother open up with prayer, and we're going to go into the Word of God. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we invite you in, Lord God, in the midst of us, Lord Jesus. And we know that your word said where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst, O Lord God. Therefore, Lord God, we invite you in, O Lord Jesus. And there's more than two, Lord God, of us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So there should be great blessings, O Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you send your angels, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And stop the way of the enemy, O Lord God. In Jesus Christ's holy, righteous name, O Lord God. Father, we bind the powers of the adversary today, Lord God, that would try to hinder this word, that would try to stop this word, that would try to stifle this word, that would try to bring condemnation upon this word, in the name of Jesus
Lord.
Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind the powers of the adversary
in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the powers of the enemy.
Hallelujah. Father, we take a stand against him, Lord Jesus.
We take a stand against him right now.
Lord God, as we deliver your word, Lord
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Every hindering spirit right now. We bind it right now in the name of Jesus.
People, Lord God, in the name of Jesus
Christ.
We command
you to lead the airways along.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Draw them by your word. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Plant your word deep, Lord God, in their heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let it get.
Oh,
Lord God. Hallelujah. Down in their heart. Down to the rock, O Lord God. Of your word, O Lord God. In the
name
of Jesus Christ, we pray.
We bind every principality and power.
Thank you, Jesus. And we say, Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you.
In
Christ's name. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the Lamb. Thank you,
Glory to God. We are grateful once again as we have to come against the enemy, because whether many of you understand or not, he does not want us to deliver this message to you all. But praise
Thank
be
you.
To God. I am so glad that the Lord's word tells us that our God is omnipotent, meaning all powerful. That that does not have power over God.
That's
we
right.
are tonight dealing with repentance, part four. I'm going to start us off, and my brother going to come behind me as we continue to talk to you about repentance, which is one of the foundational principles, one of the principles of the doctrine of Christ, on the foundation that Christ laid, that Christ expects his people to be founded on. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to go to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The book of Acts chapter 2, let's make it verse 37. The book of Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And this is what I want to present on this behalf concerning repentance as we talk about it some more tonight. Hallelujah. And we're going into the word of God today. And this is what God wants you to know concerning repentance. And here's the message, and we're going to go into the scripture. Hallelujah. When you truly repent, you will have remorse or sorrow. When you truly repent, you will have true remorse
Amen.
For what you've done.
Amen. That's
now,
right.
Some of you say, well, why are you talking on that? Because God wants us to explain to you. You know, some people have done some stuff that they know is wrong. And you notice that they have no remorse about what they've done. That's including if you show them from the word of God. When you truly repent, you're going to have true remorse and sorrow. Let's see what we're talking about here. The Word of God points it out. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 37, Peter had been preaching to the men of Israel about Christ, not about himself, not about his household, not about his title, but about Jesus. And remember, we had talked to you in the other part concerning repentance that you need faith to repent. And remember, the Bible tells us faith coming by hearing the word of God. So when the preached word or the word is given to you and you heed it and take hold of, see, faith is right there. Faith is right there. The Bible says in verse 37, now when they heard this, or what is the this? It is what Peter had preached to them about Christ. So when they heard this, remember faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the Bible said they were pricked. Now this is the word we're going to focus on this verse here, pricked. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, the Bible said they were pricked. They were pricked in their heart. When they heard this, when they heard this about Jesus, and on top of this, Peter let them know, say, hey, you crucified the true Lord. You crucified someone that was doing this thing for you. And the Bible said when they heard this, all what Jesus had done for man, hallelujah, the Bible said they were pricked in their hearts.
Amen.
Now, we look at a couple of sources of this word prick. Number one, we look at the word prick, and we look at it from the Hebrew, from the Greek word, rather, because it's in the New Testament. And the Greek word for the word prick, when it was translated, means to labor down, that is, to wear with toil. It means figuratively, it means to harass. Hallelujah. They became harassed. Glory in their heart. Well, you said, well, what do you mean, brother? You talking about some harassed. Man, wait a minute. What is it? They were bothered by what they did.
Amen.
Let me take you a little deeper.
Amen.
Webster says the word prick means a nagging or sharp feeling of remorse, regret, or sorrow. Did you hear that?
Amen.
So when they heard this word, the preached word, glory, they
Amen.
Had this sharp feeling of remorse and sorrow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Seeing
how they were. Seeing when Peter laid down to him and said, hey, you crucified the true Lord. You took a murderer over the Holy One. All of that. He just laid it down for them. And they became pricked in their heart. They start
Amen.
Getting down. They become remorseful. Because the Bible said when they heard this, not only hearing with their ears, but they took heed to what was preached to them. And now they have become pricked. And when the preached word or taught word or however the word of God is given to you, and you really hear or take heed to it, glory to God, you'll become pricked in your heart.
Yes.
You'll start becoming remorseful. We're talking about some true remorseful here. Because we're talking about true repentance, okay? That's why when some people even say, I'm sorry, you can sense that they're not remorseful, really remorseful for what they did. And then on the other hand, there are some people who let you know up front. they don't have no remorse for what they did. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
True repentance can only be exercised involving true remorse, true sorrow, okay? They heard the word of God. Glory to God. And God is letting us know when we take heed to the word of God, the thing that's going to follow, if we really heed it, is true remorse, true sorrow. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Still looking at this here. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Glory to God. Verse 8 to verse 10. We're still looking at when you truly repent, you're going to have remorse, true remorse and true sorrow. Okay? Hallelujah. The Bible talks about the people in the last day whose conscience is going to be seared with a hot iron, like with a hot iron, their conscience is going to be seared, okay? They're going to get to a point, they ain't going to have no remorse, they ain't going to care, okay? Hallelujah. And you don't want to get to that point where you start allowing more sin in your life and your heart, your spirit is coming harder and harder, okay, to a point where you just don't care. You don't have, and you got many people, quote, in the church today who have no remorse for what they're doing. You know, once upon a time, brother, you know, most people used to have remorse. They used to be truly sorry, okay?
Yes.
You point it out to them and say, you know, the word of God said, pay your tithe. You haven't been paying your tithe. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. You know, but now the favorite phrase, the Lord understands. He knows my heart. Whoa, we throwing that phrase around like just throwing water in the air. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. In other words, I don't regret it. Though I did repent, for I perceived that the same epistle have made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now, we come to understand that we see first and second book of Corinthians in the Bible, but actually Paul let us know he had wrote another epistle to them. So actually, it should have been three epistles to the Corinthians. But that's another story. I just wanted to throw that in there. Now, he goes on to say, now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to something, to the direction of something. What? To repentance. Okay?
Amen.
For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now, this sorrow is just like what we just looked at in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, okay? It led them to repentance. Remember in Acts chapter 2, what did the men say? They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what Peter said, repent, okay? And in that chapter, the Bible let us know that's what they did, okay? Because when they became pricked in their heart, they became remorseful, sorrowful, and regretful for their role, okay? And how they was, glory to God, crucifying, glory, the Holy One. Glory to God.
Amen.
And by hearing that word, they became sorrowful. And no doubt in my mind, when Paul said in verse 8, for though I made you sorry with a letter, there's no doubt that the word of God was in that letter. Hallelujah. Glory. And they became sorrowful. Corinthians became sorrowful. Why? Because he was coming with the word. And the word was showing them themselves. So they became sorrowful. Okay? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible says here, he said that, but ye were sorrowed to repentance. Okay? And verse 10, he tells us, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. Now, what you said, well, what it worketh repentance. What do you mean by worketh repentance? It causes repentance. Okay? First, you got to have faith, okay, to repent. And after, when you receive the word of God and hear the word of God, then sorrow enters in and it leads you to the direction of what? Repentance. We're talking about true remorse here now. True remorse. Because if you have no true remorse, you're not going to repent. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it was interesting. He said something else in this verse, brother. He said, and he let us know that there were, quote, two types of sorrows. Okay? He said, he let us know there's a sorrow that leads you to repentance. But the last end of the verse, he said, but the sorrow of the world. So everybody that appears to be like they're sorrowful is not being sorrowful. Glory to God. He said the sorrow, there's a worldly sorrow that the word of God tells us here. He said the sorrow of the world worketh death. It causes death. And we know in the scriptures, death many times is defined as literally or figuratively, which dealing with physical or even spiritual death. Now he talks about the sorrow of the world. Now, that was very interesting because The Lord brought something to my mind here, brother, about the sorrow of the world and why it leadeth to death. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. This is the last scripture I want to look at here, and I'm going to turn over to my brother after his, because, when he said the sorrow of the world work of death, something came to mind. And we look in Mark chapter 10, glory to God, and I'm going to sum it up and read this one verse. But remember the story of the young rich ruler, okay? And he comes to Jesus, and he says, good master, this is what he said in verse 17. He said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And so when Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? This is verse 18 in Mark chapter 10. There is none good but one, that is God. Then Jesus went to do something. He said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Okay, Jesus named this. It's very interesting about this right here. So in verse 20, after Jesus named these things right here, because he said, you know the commandments, the young rich ruler is going to answer him and say in verse 20, master, all these I have observed from my youth. I didn't kept them. What you got now, Jesus? I didn't ask you what must I do to inherit eternal life? You didn't quote these commandments. I didn't kept them. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, now this is powerful right here. He said, one thing thou lackest. Glory. Hallelujah. He said, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross, and follow me. Now look at verse 22. Now this is going with the sorrow of the world, okay? Verse 22 said, and he was sad. What? Now wait a minute now. You didn't call Jesus good master. You didn't ask him, what must you do to inherit eternal life? And he tells you, and the Bible said, and you were sad at the same, and went away. What grieved? What? Grieve is a type of sorrow, like, right? He went away grieved, for he had great possession. Do you hear that? Yeah. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So what that means is the Word spoke to him. And he became sorrowful of what the Word said unto him because he didn't want to obey the Word. That's why the Bible says the sorrow of the world, work of death. That type of sorrow doesn't want to obey the Word. Sometimes you think, have you ever wondered when people have lost something or went through something and you see them sad and they look like they're in sorrow and you say to yourself, oh, man, I know they're finna repent and come to the Lord now. And you talk to them about the Lord and they still fighting you and you wondering, man, all this stuff you didn't suffer, this loss, you still ain't come to the Lord, because that ain't the type of sorrow that leads to repentance.
Amen.
It's the sorrow of the world.
That's right.
When that type of sorrow still fighting the Word and won't accept Christ, that's not the godly sorrow, people. That is not the godly remorse.
That's
hallelujah.
Right.
Glory. I speak to the Holy Ghost. It's just like when you have your kids and your child want their cooking, you say, no, you're not going to get that cookie tonight. And they sit over there with their lip poked out and pout. Well, why is they in sorrow? Because they couldn't get what they want. You understand that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
They ain't sorrow because you purposely did something to hurt them. They are in sorrow because they couldn't get what they wanted. The young rich ruler walked away grieved. The Word that was made flesh spoke to him. And he didn't want to hear the Word, what the Word had to say. Do you get that? So if you were walking along the road and came across him and seeing him grieve, you go, oh, man, he is such sorrow. Oh, we need to take him to Jesus. Jesus can help him. But you failed to understand. He just came from Jesus. Okay? That's why he walking sorrowful, because the Word told him what to do. Do you get that? See, he thought he had everything covered. Amen. What
Amen.
Must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus said, you know the commandments. And after that, what did he say? Oh, well, I've observed all that from my youth. Okay? So what else, Lord? What else you got? And Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. And you know, I noticed something, brother, in that verse 19. Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. So he's quoting back, when you go back to the book of Exodus, right? And I noticed that Jesus only quoted six. And I said, Lord, wait a minute. There was 10 commandments. Why you didn't quote all 10? Because he showed them that you didn't keep all the commandments. Remember what he said. The young rich ruler said, all these have I observed from my youth. But notice what Jesus didn't quote, which showed that he didn't keep all the commandments. What did it say in Exodus? It said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Though possessions was his God. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Jesus was showing him, you didn't keep all the commandments. Jesus quoted, he did not quote all 10. He did not quote all 10 because he was showing him. That's why he said, one thing you lack, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Get this, and come and take up your cross and follow me. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible said he went away grieved, for he had what? Great possessions. Those possessions was his God. Do you get that?
Amen.
That was his God. Our Lord Jesus, so smart, man, it ain't even funny. And I was wondering, I said, Lord, it was 10 commandments. You didn't quote no 10. And Jesus let me know, said I was showing him that he didn't keep all the commandments that he said he kept. He didn't observe all that from his youth. Hallelujah. Because the Bible said you should have no other God before him. No possession was his God. That's why he walked away greedy. The Bible said because he had what? Great possessions. Okay? He got more caught up with Jesus said, sell everything you have and give to the poor. He got caught up with that. Oh, no, Jesus, you could have told me something else other than that. Hallelujah. Amen. I wanna know how to have an eternal life and keep my own God at the same time. But you just destroyed that by telling me, say, hey, sell all that you have. Jesus showed him. You didn't keep all the commandments. You didn't do it. Man, our God is so, he's so wise, brother. And the way he teaches, man, it's just mind-blowing. I just sit there, I said, Lord, I said, my God, I said, you didn't quote all the 10. He said, but I was showing him he didn't keep it all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. But see, that's a type of sorrow or grieving right there that's worldly. That's why that saw worketh or what causes death. Why? Because it, look what he did. He walked away from the word. He walked away from Christ. Christ is the word made flesh. The word spoke to him, and he turned away from the word. Do you get that? That's why the Lord said in Corinthians, the sorrow of the world worketh death. Okay? You're going to see people in these last days. They're gonna lose a lot of stuff. They're gonna be going through a lot of things. And you're gonna be saying to yourself, surely now's the time. They finna accept the Lord, repent. And you're gonna come to them, or somebody else gonna come to them with the word, and they're gonna fight it. And you might be sitting there saying, ah, you gotta be kidding me. The way they was looking, they suddenly saw, because that's not the godly sorrow. Remember what he said. The godly sorrow, what? Worketh to repentance. It leadeth to repentance, okay? If someone in the depths of a, quote, sorrow, and they still won't accept the Lord and still fighting it, that ain't the right sorrow, people. Hallelujah. God just don't want you to be deceived. But when you truly repent, you're going to have true remorse, true sorrow, true grief. That's going to lead you to repent. You understand that? You're going to see that the word is right and that you're wrong and that you need to get on track. That's going to be, that's the right sorrow. Okay? Glory to God.
Amen.
That's the right sorrow, people. God don't want us to be fooled. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. He's worthy to be praised. So I want to say this as I get ready to turn over to my brother. When you truly repent, you're going to have true sorrow. True sorrow, true remorse leads to the direction of repenting. If anyone in sorrow and they still won't repent, that ain't the true sorrow. That's not the true remorse, okay? Some people are sad because they didn't get what they want. They ain't not, so much as sad about them doing wrong that they offended God. It ain't about that. Some are sad because, hey, I lost the house. And then you go talking to them about Jesus, they ignoring you, and you trying to figure out, how is this so? Because it is not the true remorse that leadeth to repentance.
Amen.
So, praise be to God. I'm going to turn it over to my hand, the hands of my brother, and let my brother come forth with the word of God. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, for your thank you for the power of your word.
Lord.
We thank you, Lord God, for the brother's words, oh Lord God, that came out of your mouth, oh Lord God, that came out of your book, that came, Lord God, out of your spirit, oh Lord God, even the spirit of truth. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, that those words go straight to the heart, straight to the mind, straight to the soul. Hallelujah, be buried deep in the hearts of all that heard and that listening.
Yes,
in
Lord.
Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Did you just hear the word of God? Did you just hear the word of God? Hallelujah. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You ought to be moved at the word of God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
because
sir.
The word of God is, you know what the word of God is? The word of God is like a circle. Hallelujah. And it's like, in the word of God, hallelujah, it goes in one continuous round. Okay?
Yeah.
And when you go to one part of God's word, it brings you back to the other part of God's word, okay? Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you escape it, huh? When the word of God brings you back to the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. When the word of God, hallelujah, witnesses to the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
For out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Hallelujah. And it is so, hallelujah, that you see this in the word of God. That you see the word of God established by the word of God, through the word of God, on and on and on. Hallelujah. Many, many times, oh Lord. Hallelujah. By every verse, glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Therefore, he need not man. He don't need man to stand up for his word. He stands up for his own word. He's already spoken his words. Glory to the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Glory
to
the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lamb. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for that word. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Father, we think we know how to repent. We think we know what repentance is. We think we know.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You should be feeling the straight and narrow way of the Lord today. When the Lord is talking about that true repentance, he's talking about the straight and narrow way of the Lord. Glory to the Lamb.
Lord.
That's the narrow way. Hallelujah. That you get and you take. Hallelujah. Once you get in that true word of God, you can't turn this way. You can't turn that
hallelujah.
Way. Hallelujah.
Yes.
When you get into that word of God,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm.
Hallelujah. You must go forward.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Down the road, that road that God has set, you must go down that straight road. That narrow way. That God has said, the way that God has said in his gospel, okay? And when we say that, hallelujah, that by faith, hallelujah, that faith, you have to do everything by faith. There's nothing you can do in God's word. It brings you right back to the word of God, doesn't it? Hallelujah. When we tell you, it brought you back to 11th chapter of Hebrews. That by faith, they did everything that they did. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Repentance
hallelujah.
By faith. Glory to the Lamb. So when you, hallelujah, when you put your faith in God and you believe in Jesus Christ, as the scripture has said, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You're going to come back to that scripture that says, that Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
The power of God. We're talking about
hallelujah.
The power of God. Not the power of this world. Not the power of the flesh. Not the power of the devil. Glory to the Lamb.
Yes,
but the power of God.
Glory to the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb.
Glory to God.
Serve you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To reserve
Hallelujah.
You. Hallelujah. Blameless. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
What does Ephesians say? Blameless.
Hallelujah.
That you should be blameless before God.
Yes.
Glory
Lord.
To the Lamb.
Glory. Hallelujah.
He made you righteous. Glory to the
yes,
Lamb.
Yes, Lord.
If you walk in the Word of God, you have to. It takes you one continuous round to God's Word. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. One continuous round. Where?
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
It's one road. It's one road, okay, and it leads only to one place. What's the circle that it leads you back to? What's the person that leads you back to? Leads you back to the person that gave it. That's Jesus Christ. That's who
the word
always leads you back to Christ. Okay, hallelujah. That's why Jesus Christ said in the 5th chapter of John, he said, hallelujah, it's written of me. Thank you, Jesus. Because if you had believed these words, you would believe me.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, Matthew says in the 3rd chapter, 1 to the 2nd verse, to 11th verse, and I'm sure I've already gave you this, but I'm going to give it to you again, and say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What kingdom of heaven? Said, I indeed baptize. John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's a promise
Hallelujah.
Of God. Hallelujah. That's hallelujah. That's written in the blood of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Mark 1 and 15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled. This is what they all preach. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It's the time now for all men to repent and to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And this
yes,
is to
Lord.
All men, everyone. Hallelujah. To every religion, glory to the Lamb. To every religion, to every false religion, hallelujah. To every witch, to every warlock, glory to the Lamb. To every Islam, to every Hindu, to every Buddhism, O
yes,
Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
The word of God is to
hallelujah.
Everyone. It don't care whether you Greek, it don't care whether you Jew. It don't care nothing about none of those things.
Hallelujah.
You
yes,
was all
Lord.
Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Glory
yes,
to the
Lord.
Lamb. You must
Glory
repent of your sin and turn to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Because if you don't see him, you ain't going to ever get born again. Thank you, Jesus. You
Hallelujah.
Ain't going to never see the kingdom of heaven. You can forget it. And there's only one other place beside the kingdom of heaven. What place is that? That is hell.
Yes.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Mark 12 says, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Luke 1:16 says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about God. It's all about Christ. It's all about repentance. It's all about brokenness. It's all about forgiveness. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God. It's all about the love, the true love of God. Thank you, Jesus. They caused
Thank
him
you,
to come down in flesh. They caused him, hallelujah, to walk in flesh. They caused him, hallelujah, to be touched with the afflictions of men. They caused him, hallelujah, hallelujah, to accept, hallelujah, the persecution that they put upon him, to be crucified, hallelujah, for them who had, hallelujah, he got crucified for those that crucified him. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Have you ever heard such a thing? Huh?
Hallelujah.
Have you ever heard such a thing?
Lord.
Glory to the Lamb. That somebody going to be crucified for the very people that's crucifying them. Okay?
My Lord.
You crucified me, but I'm dying. You can still repent of your sin. Glory to the
yes.
Lamb. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to the Lamb.
Those very very men that crucified Jesus, he died for them also.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 1:17 says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of the Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is the pattern of God. This is, hallelujah, the design of the Lord, okay, from the beginning. Thank you, Jesus. And you
Thank
find
you,
this
Jesus.
In all
Thank
four of the Gospels. This is the example that you find in all four of the Gospels. Hallelujah. And in all of the other books that Paul wrote, hallelujah, Peter wrote, hallelujah, John wrote, hallelujah, glory to James
yeah.
wrote, hallelujah, Jude wrote. You find it in all of them. Why? Because it's one eternal round. The word of God, hallelujah, it always brings you to one place. It always brings you back to that one person. Hallelujah, it brings you back to that one Savior, to that one God, to that one Shepherd, to that one Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Glory.
Lord Jesus. Be the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 13:2-5 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So what's the other alternative to not repenting? You're going to perish.
Amen.
You're going to go to a hell. Hallelujah. You're going to go to a place called hell, and then you're going to go to a place called the lake of fire. Glory to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lamb. Jesus.
Glory.
And if you think you ain't got no power over your over your body now, hallelujah, you ain't going to have no power at all then. Glory to the Lamb. You
Amen.
Got a choice now. While you're living, while you're living on this earth, you have a choice and you have a chance to repent. But once you leave this body, once you leave that body and you go and you go to the beyond, you can forget it. Glory to the Lamb.
Amen.
But you got to obey this law now, at this time now. While you're living, you have to accept Jesus Christ while you are living. Okay? You can't wait
Amen.
Till you go till you get to hell and say, oh, no, Lord, I see now. I see now. I understand now. I believe now. Oh, no, 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 brother. No, no, no. That ain't how it works out. Okay? You can't say, wait till I believe when I see it. No, you got way beyond way to believing, okay? You done got there, brother. You done arrived to your final destination. Thank you, Jesus. You don't want to do
you,
that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord
yeah.
Jesus. Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the fourth says, the fourth verse says, or these 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men? You don't have to be no great sinner to die in your sins. People think you got to
Hallelujah.
Be real wicked to die in your sins. No,
yeah.
you have to is just die in your sins. Your sins. If you
yeah.
die in your sins and you don't believe in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is not your Lord, okay, and you die in unforgiveness, hallelujah, where you going to go? The person that you followed, who is that? That's the devil. That's your father. So you're going to have power with him. Right? Well, I say
Amen.
a lot of people don't want to acknowledge that they're the children of the devil. They always say, I ain't no devil. Yes, you are a devil. We
Amen.
All was devils. Okay?
Amen.
We don't want to acknowledge, ain't no devil. I ain't that bad. Yes, you are bad. You don't have to be
Amen.
That bad. But people think they got to be real, real bad to go to hell. It's just the real, real bad people that's going to hell. No, it's not. It's people that commit sin and did not repent of their sins. That's the people that's going to hell. Glory to the Lamb.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Do you not know it's people that's in hell now, hallelujah, that all they did just didn't forgive a person? They didn't forgive. Oh, hallelujah. As God and Jesus Christ commanded them to forgive. So Jesus Christ said, if you don't forgive men, neither will I forgive you.
Yeah.
So if Christ doesn't forgive you and you die in a state, hallelujah, of unforgiveness, where do you think you're going to go?
Yeah.
Come on, have a little common sense there, okay? You know you're not going up there, okay? There ain't no filthiness up there in heaven. Ain't no unforgiveness
Amen.
Up there, okay? That's why the Lord kicked the devil out of heaven. Why? Because pride was found in him. God hates pride.
Amen.
And a lot of you are filled with pride. Pride is the main reason why a lot of people do all the things that they do, because they are so full of pride. Okay?
Amen.
Can't let them get away with that. Can't let them get away with that.
Amen.
Thank you. I ain't going to ever forgive him. That dog, he should die and go to hell. I hope he die and go to hell. I'm going to rejoice on him, okay? And a lot of people say, I wouldn't pee on him if he was on fire. Well, you're going to lift up your eyes in hell. Because if you give, you receive, okay? If you haven't given any mercy, you ain't going to get no mercy. Jesus said that. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. But we like to play games. We Christians, we like to play different kind of games, and we try to play games with God like God don't know. God knows your heart. He knows you inside
Amen.
And outside. If you knew how well God knew you, hallelujah, you wouldn't even try that junk, okay? But because you are flush, you think you're deceiving God. You can't even deceive the devil.
Yeah.
And the devil knows some things about you, but the devil don't know everything about you, okay? He don't know your heart. He can't read your mind. God is the only one that reads that knows your mind, knows your heart. He knew you. Hallelujah. He counted the very hairs on your head. He knows the very hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. The devil could care less.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. but he goes to the fifth verse, and the fifth verse says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you don't have to be a great sinner to go to hell. Hallelujah. All you have to do is just say, hey, I ain't repenting of no sin. I ain't made up my mind. Hallelujah. I heard one sister the other night saying, hey, if they say they have made up their mind, then you tell them, hallelujah, now is the time to make up your mind.
Amen.
Whenever the word of God is presented to you, okay, I don't care what you feel like. Now that
right.
is your time right then and there, okay? Now you can let that time go by and you can take a chance. Hallelujah, because you don't know what's coming right around that corner. You don't know. You don't know what's about to happen to you. You don't know if death is around the corner. You don't know that. You don't know what might have
been
for you if you had repented of your sins. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm telling
Amen.
You, brothers and sisters, okay, and we ain't got through half of this, okay? But there's so much scripture about this, okay? About repentance, okay? That one thing, okay? But that's why it's straight and narrow. But it's also like a circle. Glory to the Lamb. The Word of God is like a circle, okay? And it leads you from the first place back to the second. From the first one that you came to, it leads you back to Him. It keeps leading you back to who? To Christ, okay? So Christ is the end. Of what? The law. That's what he was the end of the law, right? That's what Jesus.
Amen.
That's what Jesus when he says in the fifth chapter of John, hallelujah, that the scriptures were what? The scriptures spoke of him, okay? Now let's go to that.
Amen.
Fifth chapter of John. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Fifth chapter of John, the 38th verse, starting the 38th verse. Hallelujah.
Fifth chapter of John, starting at verse 38.
To 37.
Glory to God. For those of you who have your Bibles, just turn with us here to the fifth chapter of John, starting at 38 verse. And the Word of God says, "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he have sent, him ye believe not." Search the scriptures.
John.
John.
John, I'm sorry. Just John. John the Gospel, okay? I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. John, yeah, I'm in John. John chapter 5, verse, 38 to 39?
Yeah. 37.
Okay. 37. Okay.
Yeah.
John chapter 5.
Yeah, not first John, just verse, John.
Yeah, just John, right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Starting at verse 37. The Word of God said, "And the Father himself, which have sent me, have borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." That's John 5, verse 37.
I was focusing on 38. Sorry.
Okay. And verse 38, okay. "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me."
Hallelujah. So when the Lord said this, okay, the Lord is telling you something. Search the scriptures. How do you search the scriptures?
Amen.
Study the scriptures, and you meditate
Amen.
On the scriptures, and you pray on the scriptures, and you believe the scriptures. Hallelujah. And you hunt down the words, okay, that you don't understand, that you don't, hallelujah, and you find out what that word means, okay, if you don't know what that word means, hallelujah, and then you consult the Holy Spirit of the Lamb, that he will lead you, guide you, and direct you into all truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to, and you ask him to give you his truth, but hallelujah, to reveal to you his truth in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, hallelujah. For in the scriptures, if you search the scriptures, for in them you will find out that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Hallelujah. This is how you have eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. They are they which testify of me. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Of who? What scriptures are you talking about? He's talking about all the scriptures. All the scriptures
Amen.
Lead back to Jesus. That's why I tell you it's like one eternal round. It leads back to the one who gave it. Hallelujah. Glory to the
Amen.
Lamb. God, Jesus said, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. Okay? But it leads you back to that one Savior, okay? Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ said in the 40th verse, what he said in the 40th verse, he said, "And you will not come to me that he might have life." Why? Because you don't want me. Glory
Amen.
To the Lamb. But if you don't want me, there's only one other person for you to want.
Yeah.
You got to go to your daddy.
Hallelujah.
You got to go to your father. You got to go to the one that you love the best. Thank you, Jesus. 41st verse says, "I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." He was touched, you know, he was talking to when he was saying this. He was, I think, he was talking to the Sanhedrin, okay, because or the scribes and the Pharisees, because they always had some. They thought they were so smart. Sometimes you could be overly smart. You think you're so smart,
Amen.
As you can't hear the word of God. I know the scriptures. I know the word of God. I am greatly. I'm a theologian. I have doctorates in this, and I have doctorates in that. And that stuff don't mean nothing, okay, unless you're based on the complete truth of God, okay? And they think because they have all this knowledge, stored up knowledge, that's why you're going to, and that's one reason why you're going to be totally condemned, because you know all those things, and yet you're still blind. Because Jesus said, if you say you know, and you say you see, he's going to leave you blind. That's
Amen.
What he said. But if you say I'm blind, I can't see, then God will make you to see. Jesus will make you to see. He said, I am come in my Father's name, and he received me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. This is how people do. This is how people think. Just like that. If somebody else come in their own name, they ain't gonna receive. They gonna receive that evil person, but they won't receive Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And he said, how can he believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God? That's where the church world is at now. How can he believe, receive honor? They so busy patting each other on the back, okay? Their religions, okay? And this is my religion. I founded this. How they're so full of pride, and they got their MDs, and they got their EDs, and, you know, all the different doctrines that they got, their DDs. You know, they got all those different bachelors and masters and degrees and stuff. They so smart in theology, they're dumb, hallelujah, in the way of God, because all they know is what they was taught. They don't have the Spirit of God in their life to give them light, understanding, illumination, hallelujah. They think they can get it out of a school, and you can't. The Holy Ghost has to teach you. I don't care what school you go to, you still have to be taught of the Holy Ghost. That going to a seminary school, that's all good and well. Fine, okay? Learn the scriptures. Hallelujah. But you better be led by the Holy Spirit. You better be led by the Holy
Amen.
Ghost. You better receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You better walk, hallelujah, in that design that Christ laid down. That Christ, what is that design? That design of faith, repentance.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And conversion. Hallelujah. That leads to salvation. That leads you to what? To forgiveness, reconciliation, justification, remission of sins, redemption, consecration, sanctification. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. It leads you to all those things. Hallelujah. That's the straight and narrow way of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you go from holiness to holy. Holiness unto the Lord. Holy, holy. Go get on up there.
Yeah.
As you get holier, you get holier and holier. You think you can't get holier? You think you're just one type of, just one kind of sanctification? When you get holier, more consecrated to God, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. This is what's supposed to happen to you. Thank you, Jesus. Now,
yes,
hallelujah,
Lord.
I'm going to stop it right there. I'm going to give it back to my brother. Hallelujah. Father, forgive me for going. Okay. Forgive me, brother.
Glory to God. Thank God for the word of the Lord today. As my brother have delivered the message of the word, we have three parts left on this repentance. We will go to part 7 tomorrow night, part 5. As my brother come forth with more repentance. Like I said, this is an assignment that Jesus has put us on. Once again, we come as children and servants of the Lord. We're not coming before you like we know everything and know it all. We're just delivering the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And we're letting you see what Christ originally set up so you can understand what has to be restored. Who has to be restored and why, okay? And as my brother pointed out to you, in Ephesians through Paul, Jesus let us know that He's coming back for a church without wrinkle, spot, or blemish.
That's right.
He's coming back for what he set up, not what we set up. Okay, it ain't going to be none of that, hun, Lord, take it or leave it. It's none of that. I mean, when we come with that kind of attitude, we didn't got our wires crossed up. We forgot who is the king for a minute there. But don't worry, God will remind you. You ain't got to worry about that. You ever forget who's the king, you can trust and depend on him that he will remind you. Amen. So, you know, it's and we're dealing with the repentance because this, you know, and even as my brother has been coming with the word to you, this message of repentance is frowned on. The message of repentance have gotten many true prophets thrown out of places, you know, because, you know, people's idea of a true prophet is someone that comes and say, gifts and cars and houses for you all. You know, not someone that comes and say, repent. The Lord said, you ain't sin, repent. That ain't the idea some people got in their mind of a true prophet. Okay. They ain't got that in mind. They don't want to see a Nathan, the prophet. None of that. Cause you know, that prophet going to deliver a message of correction. That prophet is going to say, it was you, King David, that did it. It's that kind of message right there, not greatly appreciated by many people. But this is the foundation Christ laid that he expects his people to be founded on. And like he said in Matthew 7, we can choose which man we're going to be, either the wise or the foolish. But if you decide that you don't want to be on this foundation, you don't want to follow this, then you will be representing the foolish. And when the storm and the wind and the rain come, because it's going to happen, you're going to fall.
Amen.
Now, you may say, Brother Nate, you judge me. No, that's the word of the Lord. Okay? Don't shoot at me, okay, because I didn't write the word. I'm giving you what the word says, okay? And in that representation, you're going to see many people, many churches going to fall because we are living in this time now that the revelation is being given and is being revealed who is standing on the foundation and who is not, okay? It is being more evidently sown, and maybe some of us as Christians haven't been seeing it yet, even though it's right before our eyes. But I guarantee you, if you consecrate yourself more to God, you will see things that you had not seen before. And I mean things that was in front of your face and you just really didn't recognize. It is something about getting into the presence and consecration with God that he begins to open your spiritual vision.
Amen.
He began to do you like the servant of Elisha. Remember when he thought that, hey, it's over for us, and Elisha said to the Lord to, what, show him, you know, and God opened his eyes, okay, and he saw that they were surrounded with protection. Well, see, that was already before him, but he didn't see that at first.
Amen.
God had to open his eyes, okay, and God is going to open the eyes of many of his people today who are truly coming before him in consecration saying, Lord, I just want to see the truth. Show
Amen.
Me the truth. And God can open the eyes. Too many of us right now, we're blind. And stuff is happening right before our face. You know, people, there's many of us that don't see. Man, this stuff is setting up for the Antichrist to rise big time. Okay?
Yes.
But too many of us as Christians, we are running around in the streets. We're running around. We're trying to get everything established in our life, the big house, the cars, the money, and we want to say this is the God life. And so we seeking that type of life, and we blind.
Amen.
Our mind is on earthly things, okay? And when you are on earthly things with that mind and carnality, you will not detect the things in the spirit. And so it can be right before your face. And you'll still say, I don't see it. And this is why I know that in these last days, God is going to open the eyes of some of his people who've been crying out to him, who've been getting in his presence. And he's about to show them these things. And these A lot of these big mega churches is going to go down. Now, I know some of y'all saying, oh, Brother Nate, there you go. You speaking curses. What's wrong with you? That ain't love. I'm just trying to tell you. Trying to show you. Many of them is going down because why? They have gotten off the foundation. Now it's about entertainment, money. That's what it's about. And being popular one.
Yes.
That's why you got some of these ministers competing against one another, seeing who can build the biggest building. Okay? During this coronavirus pandemic, you had folks who's supposed to be what? Gospel singers competing against one another with gospel music. What kind of stuff is this?
Amen.
What is this?
Amen.
You don't read that in the Bible. You didn't read it saying, you know, Michael got his boys. They've been practicing for a while, and they went against Gabriel and his boys in the sing. You don't read no stuff like that, okay? You don't read no competition in heaven. Ain't no competition up there. Ain't nobody trying to race and try to see who can get to the finish line first so they can brag. It's none of that going on. But why is it going on down here in the extension of the kingdom here on earth? Why is that? Why is it that we're hard down competing? Okay, we're going out and trying to recruit the wrong way. Instead of recruiting soul for Christ, we're trying to recruit soul for the church. Okay?
Amen.
We're trying to fill the seats up.
Yes.
And so why should I tell you repentance if I'm trying to get you to join? Because I know when I talk about repentance, the big crack come in your forehead, and now I'm seeing you about to get angry, so I'm going to bag off and just tell you God loves you, come on in and become a member. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everyone that's coming into these churches has not come God's way. They're given
right.
That passport, a free pass, okay? You ain't got to repent. Come on. The doors of the church is open. Bloop, dump you in the water. Get up. Hello, brother. Hello, sister. We put you on the roll now. And what we expect for you is when that collection plate come around that it don't pass by you without you putting something in it. That's what we expect, okay?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Free passes. That's why you finna see many of these mega churches, they finna go down, okay? Because they have gotten off the foundation. And now these famous secular sinners, that's why they coming in the church right in and getting in position. Because if I can get a big-time secular artist become, quote, a member of my church, what am I do? I'm going to draw people. I'm not drawing them God way. I'm drawing them because
Amen.
I got a celebrity.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Making mockery of the word of God. And God is not going to continue to put up with that. So now it's going to be some exposure. Okay?
Amen.
There's already things been coming out. Hallelujah. And guess what many of us starting with? The head.
Yes.
The work of restoration. What God is going to do? He got to get a ministry prepared first. Okay?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He not going
right.
to just work on getting on the bottom first and try to send them into there if you got a messed up ministry. Because if you send them into a messed up ministry, they ain't going to do nothing but wreck their lives. So he's going to start with the head. And that's why many of the mega churches, what you seeing? Exposure of the head. Doing some stuff
Amen.
They got no business doing. Being exposed.
That's right.
And you notice that many times when that happened, that church is not the same no more.
Right.
Oh, amen. Anyhow, so glory to God. I'm going to let my brother offer up a closing prayer. Go ahead, brother.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word, Lord God. Father, we thank you that
Lord.
Your word is right, Lord God, that it cannot fail, that it is straight, Lord
yes,
God,
Lord.
That it points you to the straight and narrow way of the Lord, O Lord God, that it does not go to the left or then does not go to the right, O Lord God, but
yes,
that it
Lord.
Goes and narrow, hallelujah, that it goes in one, hallelujah, pointing straight to thee, pointing straight
yes,
to the
Lord.
Lamb, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for the spirit of truth, Lord God. We
yes,
thank
Lord.
You for the comfort. We thank you, Lord God, for planting your word deep in our hearts today, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Forever bringing us closer to you, Lord God, drawing us near to you, Lord God, as we hear the word of God. So bring us nearer and nearer, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. To become, Lord God, as our brother Paul was, Lord God, that says how he's persuaded. Cause us to be persuaded,
yes,
Lord God, with all our minds, with all our souls, with all our spirits, oh Lord God. Cause us, Lord God, hallelujah, to be planted deep in the word of God, that we might stand, hallelujah, in the things that are about to happen. In Jesus Christ's holy, righteous name, Father, we trust in you, Lord God, and we believe in you, Lord God, and we believe that your word is truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We believe in the absolute truth of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for all you've been listening. Tomorrow, once again, from 6 to 6:30, we'll be coming with part 5 on repentance as my brother brings forth more of the word of God on repentance. So thank God for all of you who've been listening. As for brother Robert Gross, this is brother Nathaniel Hunt. We love you all. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, brother.
Amen. God bless you, brother.